doing the 21-day fast. Day 21 comes up here at the end of midnight. How many of you are going to eat something at midnight that you haven't been able to eat? Okay, good. You're going to stay awake. We'll order pizza tonight, right, everybody? Whatever you did, some of you did social media. One brother was telling me yesterday that he did all sweets. He did the selective, but he stayed away from sweets. And you know, his countenance just looked better. This guy was really ugly. I mean, and he became handsome because he did the Daniel fast, so to speak. He just looks a lot better. He wasn't ugly, but he looked. Something happens to you when you fast. Amen. And that's what the work of God is. It's an inside job that does something reflective on the outside. Many of us want to work on the outside during this time of resolution of 21 days, at the beginning of the year. I'm going to start out right. But we need to learn that we work on the inside of our lives first, and God transforms us on the outside. Right, everybody? What would happen if you did something that you hit that habit that you had, that thing, that shortcoming, but for 21 days you assaulted it with heaven instead of hell, and you brought heaven towards that? I think you would change, right? I think you would, if you would feed the spirit more than the flesh, you would overcome some things. And I want to speak directly at that. I heard a funny story. Y'all, can I tell you a joke real quick? There's like three clergy guys, and they're on a sabbatical. They're getting away. They're 21 days of prayer. They're fishing. They're breaking away from their congregation. There's a rabbi, Jewish rabbi. There's a Catholic priest, and there's a preacher, a Baptist preacher. Let's just call him Baptist, amen, because there's one here. And they're fishing. They're having the time away. And the Jewish rabbi says, you know, I really feel that confession is good for the soul, brethren. And we ought to just, I can't really confess to my synagogue. Oy vey, I can't do that. I just need to confess to you guys because y'all understand my struggles. You understand what I'm going through as a clergy, as a minister. And I need to be the first to confess some things. And I hope we all will confess things and we'll pray for each other, because the Bible says we'll pray for each other and we'll be healed of it. He says, yeah, I really love pork. I know as a Jewish man, as a rabbi, I shouldn't be eating pork chops. But every Friday night, I get pork chops. I eat those pork chops. I grill them. They're delicious. I just can't break free of that habit of pork. And I know I shouldn't be. And on Saturday mornings, I have bacon and eggs. And I love bacon. It's my shortfall. Would you pray for me? And so the Catholic priest prays for me, says, you know, be free of the pork and don't eat it. And so the Catholic priest is next. He said, you know what? My habit is I drink too much. That wine that goes behind the altar, I drink it and it just doesn't, I get a little bit tipsy. I just don't want to do that anymore. I want to be a good example to my flock. And so they pray for him. He feels better. So everybody looks at the Baptist preacher, and the Baptist preacher says, you know what, man, I have a problem with gossip. And I just can't wait till I get off this boat to go make some phone calls. You'll get that at 3 in the morning, some of y'all. Real change happens when you work on the inside first, right? And so in John, our scripture's been for our theme, John 8:34, on the big screen. I tell you the truth, Jesus had spoken to these group of Greek believers. They believed, and they were believing, but they'd had this problem that Jesus had to address about this habit that kept coming up, and they couldn't get set free. And Jesus had to give them a story or like an opposite. And he said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. He knew his audience who was speaking to Jesus. A slave is not a permanent member of the family. In other words, Jesus was telling them, they're not getting the best of what they could have, their benefits that they could have if they're part of being a family, inclusive in the family, because they're not going to stay. They're just coming and going, and there's no permanency in their lives. And a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever and ever, amen, right? And so the son sets you free. You are truly free indeed. And so the scripture's been telling us that freedom really isn't this word that we shout out, and I'm finally free. Freedom is this thing that takes place because you go on a journey and you get set free because you abide with Jesus. You abide as a disciple. You abide in the Word of God. You abide and you begin to do life not as a slave, somebody far off, but as somebody that's in the family. And we don't love God because He saved us. We love God, of course. He saved us and He transformed our lives. I love God because I'm not going to hell. No, I love God now that I'm in love with Him. I'm walking with Him now. Do you understand that today? There's such a difference. It's not fire insurance anymore. Nobody wants to go to hell. But I want God's love in my heart so much so that it changes my life. Right, everybody? And I fall in love with the Master that way. Amen. I want you to listen to the dedication series that we have, the Dedicate series. And it's found on our website, livingfaithsa.org. Because you're going to find principles. This series will work for your life, but in a while it won't work for you. And what I mean by that is, see, after the 21-day fast is over, we're going to go back to some things that we used to do. And it's just natural. You can't stay at it 21 days because you're human. You're going to want certain foods again. We're going to fall back into ruts and routines. But there's a way. What if we could stay free? What if we could stay away from that thing that clamps down on us and doesn't bring us victory in our lives? What if we could get that through God's Word today, and I could show you that secret today, right? Wouldn't you want that? I've always told you, you know, you have the outline in front of you, and some of you are like my wife. She collects them, and she collects them, and man, we just get all this stuff, man, by her bedside, by her cómoda there, and I go, man, it's stuff's falling off. Don't tell her I said this. She's in the nursery blessing your kids right now. But I find them, my own notes, and I throw them away because it's too much. Man, just get rid of some of this junk. Y'all have a wife like me, anybody? Be brave. Be brave. No. All you cowards here. You guys are probably cleaning up after your man, right? It's opposite, right? But anyway, she keeps her notes. I want you to keep these today because they're going to be something that you can use after the 21-day fast is over. In February, March will come along. You can say, why am I given to that? And you can review these. This will make a mark on you today, not because they're my words, because they're Bible words. Is that okay? They're written words from God's Word today. And I want you to become spiritually alive, not only today, but in February also as we continue. I want you to continue on the walk with God today. We've seen the cartoon of the demon and the angel. And the angel is telling him, go to church, read your Bible, be good. Don't look at girls, don't chew, and, you know, don't smoke and do all that stuff, right? The angel's saying that in the cartoon. But the little chamuco demon, like a changuito, man, he's up here and he's saying, hey, go ahead, take the smoke, take the drug, go look at, run around and go do that, right? And which one is he going to listen to? The one you feed the most? The one that you give the most to? The one, I'm in the Word for 21 days. I'm in the Word every morning doing my daily devotions. I'm seeking God. I'm at church on Sunday morning, right, everybody? I'm getting fed. That's the one that you're going to win with, amen? If you feed the other one, if nobody likes me, I'm a loser, that one's going to win. And you're giving negative thoughts towards that today. Let's get victorious thoughts, right, everybody? In Luke chapter 11, verse 24, look at this downer verse right now. And Jesus is the one saying it. On the big screen, it says this. When an evil spirit leaves a person, by the way, that's you and me, it goes into the desert searching for rest. This is that person right now. Somebody pause. Well, woo, I got caught. I ain't going to do that again. She saw me looking at that. Woo, I cried a little bit, crocodile tears, and you know, I got caught. I'm going to change. I've been good for a week. This is that person right now. But when he finds none, this chamuco that left it, amen, it says, I will what? I'm going to come back to that same person. Boy, that's bad news, isn't it? That's not a, let's put this one on the refrigerator, right? This isn't like the Lord is my shepherd. This is kind of a bad news verse right now because it's coming back. And so it returns to find its former home. That means your life. It's swept and all in order. Man, I got my act together for 2017. And you're looking good on the outside. But on the inside, you never replaced it with the Holy Spirit. You never replaced it with good things in your life today. And then the spirit, look what it happens. That evil spirit will find seven spirits that are more evil than itself. Am I saying this or who's saying this? Yeah, God's saying this, God's word. And they enter that person and live there. And so that person is worse than ever before. Wow. I think Jesus, what he meant by this, and what I know is as I looked at the background, it wasn't a word that you would have bad news about it, but it's a warning word. It's like you don't have to have this in your life. This doesn't have to be your life today if you do what I'm telling you to do. We get free in Christ, but you have to enforce the victory of Calvary, of the cross of Jesus in your life. You got to fight for your healing. You got to fight for your freedom in Christ. Did you know that today? Amen. The blood has been paid, but you got to walk it out. You got to do the things that God's told you to do. Within every relationship, within every organization, within every church, marriage, you have freedom that comes. Governments have faced this. People have faced this. Marriages have faced this. We walk as a church. We get freedom. We get set free, man. But a cycle begins. And we look at the thoughts. And I want to show you something on the screen, just an extra note today. And it's a cycle that we have. And freedom comes. The government of our nation was born because we declared our independence from a country that was giving us oppression. We want to get free from the king. We don't want to pay taxes. And so we poured the tea into the river, into the sea, into the ocean, and we're not going to pay taxes anymore. We declared our independence. And we got our freedom through a revolution. But what happened was prosperity came to a nation that was free. And then we started to spend. We got bondage, right, everybody? And so, personally, we stick back right now, you right now, because we get free in Jesus. We get free, man. Thank God, man, now life is really what it's like, and I get set free from prosperity comes to your life because you're meant to prosper now, right? You're meant to have the good things in God. But prosperity can also bring complacency. You ever notice a guy that newly gets married, he starts to gain weight? Well, he got a girl, man. He don't need to work out. He don't need to run the 3 miles anymore. He got honey next to him, right? Everybody, you get complacent. You prospered. Boy, did you prosper. Give me a good amen. 21-day fast is gone, right? And then bondage comes, not in the sense of just, well, now I got to get freedom again, man. I need to go back to the gym. I need to go back to eating right. Amen. Because the doctor says cholesterol level. See the cycle, how it repeats itself? See how our country now is spending more than it's taking in? And they're about to call our creditors in. You're going to have to pay up now. We have bondages right now. We have to pay. Every relationship has that. And so what if we could find a way to stay free and stay prosperous and stay blessed instead of falling back into bondage? Right, everybody? Yeah. I would want that. The Old Testament was set up that when God came to his people, he says, I'm going to give you these set of laws, like 400 and something of them. Obey them all. And the people of God couldn't obey them. They kept falling short, right, everybody? God did that on purpose because he wanted to send his spotless son, Jesus, the spotless lamb, in the New Testament to fulfill every law. He dotted every I. He crossed every T, right, everybody? He did it like never before. It's that way when he went to the cross, no one had ever been like Jesus. He was an innocent man, not like us, that we deserve the cross today. And so, therefore, freedom could come to our lives today. The early church, check this out, was faced with so much freedom that they fell into prosperity and then they fell into bondage again. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote this letter that was corrected towards the Galatian people. It's called Galatians now, the letter of Galatians. And he wrote this letter as a corrective letter because they had gotten so free that they fell back into this religious bondage that they were trying to work themselves back into salvation. And it was this bondage that Paul said, no, you don't need to live that way. And so I'm going to give you a peek of it right now in Galatians 5:1, and it's found in your handout, right, everybody? Let's read it out strong, out loud, and not out soft. 1, 2, 3, read it. 1, 2, 3, go. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then by the yoke of slavery. And here it goes. He was telling them, that's how you do it. You stand firm in the Word of God, and it's not repeat the cycle again like you shampoo, repeat and rinse. You're going to do it over again. Freedom, prosperity, bondage, all over again. There are two forms of freedom, real quickly. Listen to me. There's a freedom of being delivered instantly. Have I seen people delivered? Drug addicts that have been drug addicts for many years, they get free from habits immediately. I've seen that happen before. It's glorious, man. It's deliverance. But then I've seen most of this my Christian life. I've seen it, the second point, where it's a process. They walk it out. It's a journey. It's being a disciple. It's Peter chopping off ears in the middle of a garden with Jesus. It's Peter saying cuss words. I don't know that blankety blank rabbi. It's Peter walking on water, trying to walk on water, and he's doing it, but then he sinks. It's discipleship. It's a journey with Jesus. And that second point is really how we usually do life. Do you understand that? And if you get an understanding of that, you walk in victory even better today. It's a process. It's layer by layer, and it's doing it the right way. Amen. My friend that mentors me from afar, all the way from Dallas, his name's Robert Morris. He taught me this story, and I'm going to teach it to you. And it's found through the beautiful story of the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11, says this, and then he said, there was once a man who had two sons. How many sons did he have?
Two.
How about this back area? You guys are weak. How many sons did he have?
Two
sons, amen. And the younger said to his father, Father, right now I want what's coming to me. And this was very disgraceful for the man, a young man, to ask for his father to have the inheritance before he died. You wait till daddy dies, then you get the will read. But this was a slap in the face. It shamed the family name. It was more shameful at that point in history than it was. So the Jewish listeners were listening to this Jewish story told by a Jewish rabbi, and they were insulted that this young man would do that, as we are right now even. And so the father divided the property between them. Now that's real important. I've underlined it because we're going to unpack that and come back to it. So file that away, that the father had two sons and he divided the property between not only one but between both of them. Right, everybody?
Yeah.
It's scriptural. And it wasn't long that before the young son packed up his bags and left the country, the distant country, that there were he was undisciplined and he wasted. Notice the prosperity that he gains, the freedom that he gains. You notice how he's free. I'm free from daddy. I got money in my pocket. I'm prospering, right? But notice what begins to happen to him because of the bondage. Now there he was undisciplined. He wasted everything he had. He spent. And he'd gone through his money. And there was a bad famine through the whole land. And he began to what? Ouch, man, I ain't got any money. I had freedom once. I had prosperity. But look at the bondage. Don't let go of this outline that I'm going to give you right now. It will help you. It will bless you. Not because it's my word, because it's God's word. The first principle is this. Admit that you have a need. If you want to get free and stay free and walk as a disciple to be continued right now, you got to admit it. Healing begins now. I got a good t-shirt. My brother gave me a good t-shirt. It says, healing begins now. I wear that t-shirt. Amen. I receive my healing. But you know what? Many of us go, I'm only going to tell God. No, you're not. You shouldn't tell only God. Amen. I'm only going to tell God because it's just me and God. If you have that mentality, it's only me and God going through this thing. It's a wrong mentality to have as a Christian today. Man of God in this room, do you know what gets me? It's really tough for me to admit that I have problems because I'm a man. I provide for my family. I get this pride thing going on, and I'm not going to admit that I have a weakness or I need help or I'm weak. But the most courageous act that a man of God can have in this room is to say, I need help today. I'm not going to make it. You don't need to announce it to the world. I'll unpack that in a minute. But you can announce it to your circles that look at you eyeball to eyeball. And they'll tell you, I can help you. We can help each other. Let's move on because God is our helper today. Amen?
Amen.
Look at how this man, young man, tries to be prideful, even in the middle of not having any money. In Luke chapter 15 on the big screen or right there where you're at today. He says this, so he went and he says, I'll fix this. And he hired him out. He hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields. He wasn't Jewish. They didn't believe. There was a guy that he was into pork chops, right? Into bacons. And he sent him to the fields to feed pigs. Again, a disgrace. Not the Jewish people just didn't hang around pigs. They were a filthy animal. And he longed to fill his stomach with pods, pig food. And the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything to eat. He says, man, I got to eat pig food. Look at the pig mess between my toes. I'm lost everything. Look at this next thought. And when he came to his what?
Senses.
He had this moment. That's coming to your senses moment. And that's when you say, enough already. I don't need to live this way. I don't need to be under bondage this way. I can live better. My father prayed for me. My mother hoped better things for me. We're praying that they come to their senses. We're praying that you come to your senses right now. It says, how many of my father's hired hands have food to spare? But here I am. I'm starving to death right now. Yeah, admit there's a problem. How, man? I don't want to have to say like I'm a loser. I'm messed up. I've lost it all. How can I do that as a man or as a woman? I'm the one that sits where I sit in church right now. You got to say, you know, I got a problem. This past Wednesday night, by the way, we have church on Wednesday night at 7, everybody in the room. I don't know where y'all were at, but we have church every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Maybe you were working, I understand. And the remnant was small enough that when we had the time of prayer, the women went this way and prayed kind of in that area, and the men that I gathered with prayed right here in this area by that door. And we basically started in a prayer circle. Who has a need that we can pray with you about? It was all guys in my circle. And one guy broke the ice. He said, you know what? I've gone through so much that I am bending, but I'm not going to break because I'm getting prayer right now. Amen. I've gotten so beat down and so hurt that but I'm not going to break. I might bend. And you know, all the men, which were about three or four of us, we laid hands on them. We prayed because we've all been there. And that was a friend. He became my friend, and I got closer to that bro because I've gone through that. Another brother prayed for his wife because she was struggling. And she was going, and the men said, you know, instead of praying for yourself, I want to honor you. You prayed for your wife, and you prayed that God would help her. And they laid hands, and they prayed, and we got closer. One guy prayed that he would have hope in his family, that they would return to God. And we all know how that feels in the circle. See, friendship isn't really born in a big group like this. Friendship is born when you say, I know how you feel because I've gone through alcoholism. I know how you feel because I've gone through drug addiction. I know how you feel because I've struggled with pornography. You can't announce that to the whole church, right? Because it shouldn't be done that way, the Bible says. But you can announce it to your small group. And so everyone in this room needs to be part of a living faith small group. The men meet. The ladies of faith meet. There's a journal group. There's groups that meet almost every week that you can be part of. You can come to Wednesday night. You can be part of a prayer group. Amen. You got to be part of it. Man, if you're in this room and you're saying, man, I need help. You know what? You pick out the two guys that look like the biggest losers in that group and you say, hey, you guys follow me outside. And you tell those two guys that look like that, this is what's going on. I picked you guys because you guys look like the worst of the worst. And you know what the worst of the worst will tell you? Yeah, I know exactly how you feel, but let's pray. Right, everybody? Amen. No one's arrived. We're all in the same hospital. Some of us have just gotten up. Amen. We still got the IV hooked in us. Amen. Amen. Relationships are formed in small groups. And you need them and I need them. And let's not forget about that today. Let's continue. The second thought is this. To be continued, humbly repent to a mighty God and to God's good people. Amen. Again, Luke chapter 15, verse 18. And I will set out. This is what the man says, the younger son. I will set out and I will go back to my father. And what does he say? Father. What does he say? Father. I've not only sinned against you, my father, on this earth, but I've sinned against my father in heaven today. Just me and you, God. That system's not going to work out. You gotta tell other people. Again, the whole church doesn't need to know about your mess, but your small group does. Your small group needs to be there. The process of that needs to work itself out. In James chapter 5, a bonus verse right now, 16, we know it at Living Faith. We've taught it. It's part of our lives here. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Yeah, God, forgive me. Yes, God hears you. He's going to forgive you. But you got to confess them to each other. Not the world, but to your group today. Pray for each other. Notice that. So that you can be what?
Healed.
Because you admit it right there. And they say, yeah, I know what it is to be addicted that way. I know what it is to hurt that way. And I've been through it, and I can help right now. And the prayer of that powerful, that anointing happened. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Because there's nothing like a relationship with people that love you, that stare eyeball to eyeball and say, we can make it through. How did it go? Man, it didn't go so well. Well, you know, next time it's going to go well because I love you, man, and I'm in your corner. I'm your Mickey Rock. Get back in there. You can do it again, Rock. Got to keep you awake. Amen?
Amen.
There's this word repentance that we get. Repent. And it's not a bad word. We think repent, you sinner. No. Repent is this word, and it's this Greek word metanoia. There's even this great church in our city named Metanoia Church. And what it means is repent. They take two words. Repent, men, repent. Meta means change. Somebody say change.
Change.
The noia means not you're annoying me. Metanoia means change. Noia means mind. Change my mind.
Amen.
Ah, yeah, I get it. Do you know you don't change your mind automatically? Amen. Amen, Renee. I don't. I get this thing, man, where I'm hell-bent. I'm going to do that. I'm terco. I'm going to do that. How many of you have sons and daughters? Are y'all here with me? Yeah, they're going to do that. And that's where the mind needs to change. You know how that happens? By process, by listening, by learning, by being in discipleship mode. I'm walking with the master. I'm walking with people of God. I'm reading the Word of God. It's changing my mind. I don't have to feel sorry for myself. I don't have to feel, woe is me. God loves me. God has a plan. See, I'm learning that. Doesn't happen automatically. I've been beat down. No, I'm rising up again because God's Word is a glory. See, I'm reading good things. It's changing my mind. God's people, positive people are telling me, hey, you're not a loser, man. You're a winner. You can win at this thing, right, everybody? I'm getting around the good people of God. It's changing my mind, right, everybody? And that's what we learn, we listen, we talk. It's a process, and thank God for it. How many glad you came to Living Faith?
Yeah,
three of y'all. Here's the maintenance mode. I'm almost finished. Number three, fill in the blank here. Daily, choose to receive God's truth. Somebody shout daily. Because that little chamuco, that little monkey, is going to be on your shoulder whispering, you're a loser, you're addicted. You're not going to be free of that ever. You're always going to be lonely. You're never going to have a spouse. He's always going to be. The enemy will talk your ear off. And it's interesting how he didn't do it with a younger. But we had two sons in the story, right? Remember that? And one of the sons, the devil spoke to, and he believed the lie. Party going on. And that older son's walking in from the fields. He never left daddy's house. And he's hearing this ruckus go on, and he tells the servant that's with him, his own servant, and he says, hey, what's going on? He says, your younger bro's come home, bro. Your younger bro has come home, man. There's this party going on. Daddy's killed this fatted calf. Wow. And it says that older brother that was in the house, he just got offended. He went into his room, which is probably pretty nice because he's the oldest son. And he went in there and pouted so much so that daddy, isn't it amazing how daddy will rescue you even if you're wrong? with a heart that's so far away. I've never done anything wrong. I've always been here. I've always paid the price. And that sort of heart daddy even comes towards if you'll allow him. Because dad, father, heavenly father's a restorer. Today. The Father always wants to restore even religious people that think they don't have anything wrong with them. Wow, can I keep reading? Yeah, Luke chapter 15, verse 29 on the big screen. Daily choose to hear God's truth. Don't be like this older brother. And that's so tempting even for Sunday morning people just like me, just like you that show up every Sunday. And he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. What a liar. He wasn't a slave. He was a son. He had slaves. They had servants. Reminds me of Andrew, my son. He's about 12 years old. He was shorter then than I was. And I wanted to keep him that size, but he kept growing. And Andrew, one time, I was I was telling her to do something, not wrong, but as a dad, I said, hey, do this, help bring the groceries, I think it was a grocery, bring the groceries in. Mom didn't have to do them all, I'm not doing all, everybody grab a bag and do it now, you're strong enough, you can do it. And he got so messed up with me telling him that, you know what he said, he did a Darth Vader on me, yes, master. to get under me, and boy, did he. And I said, I don't think you understand something. And I hope Andrew's watching right now in Dallas. The Christ, I don't think you understand something, man, right now. I said, you get fed three meals in this house that I pay for. You get heat in the wintertime. You get AC. You get this big screen TV that I bought with my money. And you get to enjoy it. Most of the time you have the remote control. You get to play your games on it. I said, so I am your master. That's good. You call me that.
Amen.
Yeah. And look what he says. I've never disobeyed your orders. Haven't we all sinned and come short of the glory of God?
Yeah.
He's a liar again. Yeah. That older brother. All of us are messed up. And yet you've never given me even a young goat. Not only did he get the young goat, but remember the inheritance? He got the half of the inheritance before his daddy died. And by the way, the oldest son in Jewish culture, he would get a third of it. He would get more than double of the amount than the younger son. So he had more money even present time. And so I could celebrate with my sons. He wanted a cabrito goat, and the guy, I don't know why he wanted that. He wanted a goat. But this son of yours has squandered all your property with prostitutes. By the way, it was a rumor in the church that the guy went with prostitutes because that the Bible never says he had prostitutes. It just said he lost his money. And again, that assumption, he's probably hanging out with all those women. And again, that's how rumors get started, right, everybody? So he's a gossip also, comes home, and you've killed the fatted calf for him. And here's the tender voice of the father on your handout. My son, the father says, you've always been with me, and everything I have is yours, right, everybody?
Amen.
See, the older son chose to live a lie and chose to believe those lies today. I want to go immediately to the next slide, which isn't that slide of that guy. Show me the next slide because of our time. I need to get at, you guys are going to beat the Baptist to the salad bar. Is that okay with everybody? The buffet, yeah. You happy now? Amen. Yeah. I want to empower you now with God's truth. I'm so thankful that God is never bankrupt. Didn't the prodigal father, didn't daddy give them everything? He gave them everything, but daddy still had a robe. Daddy still had a ring. Daddy still had some calves that he could kill. So the story that you can really take heart right now, you're never going to bankrupt God as a child of God. God has more than enough. You're receiving that right now. God has plenty for his children. God has plenty of blessings in store. God's hand will never run short in your life if you go to the right source today. God is with you. He's not against you today. Amen. Look at this final beautiful verse that I want you to really unpack. Don't check out with me yet, but look at it. In Luke chapter 15, verse 22. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe. Somebody shout robe. And put it on him. Put on the ring. Somebody shout ring. Yeah, put it on his fingers. Somebody put some sandals on his feet. Somebody shout out sandals. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have this feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and now he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. So let us begin to celebrate right now. Amen. Yeah, beautiful verse right now. There are three things that are real extravagant that the Father gives each and every believer that's found in this. Three things, amen, that he's going to give you. Show me the next slide. There are extra notes. They're right there in your handout today. He gives you a robe of righteousness. And robes of righteousness are just meant to cover you, that you're not exposed anymore, that you're beautiful now. You are the righteousness of Christ Jesus and God today. And so when the devil whispers that you're not righteous, I am the righteousness of God, I'm covered. now by God. It's my perception now, how I see myself. I used to see myself this way, but now I see myself this way. Do you understand the day? It's my view of myself, so I no longer see myself the way you see me. I see the self the way that God sees me. And nothing is going to push me down now. I don't have a cocky attitude. I just have a son attitude today. I'm a disciple of Jesus. How about you today? Right, everybody? It's a better view. Amen. See that in your past. See that in your present. And see that in your future, because God has forgiven you. You have the robe of righteousness on. Some of you in this moment need to realize this truth today, because you've never heard it quite put this way. And it's a set free moment. He gave him a ring, a signet ring. And it signified, Ben-Hur does this so beautifully in that movie of the signet ring of his family, the Ben-Hur movie, how they would insignia on the clay, on the letter, and push it in, and it would show the family seal, the shield, the crest. And that way, all of his family, he had all that authority. It's kind of like God's credit card that you don't really have to pay back, but we owe it all to him. And so you walk in God's authority. The ring is put on your finger, the ring finger, and you walk in total access of what God has for you. See, you have a name, God's name. And his name that you gave you, he gave you, is in the name of Jesus. All access. I have the name of Jesus, and it gives me authority. The kingdom of God is coming. Heaven come to earth right now. I have access right now. It's kind of like this. You've been told something that you're a loser, or you're ordinary, or you're addicted, and you can say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not. Why don't you practice that with me and say it with authority? In the name of Jesus. So when you hear the enemy whisper, you're a loser, you're always going to be addicted, I'm not, devil. You don't have any authority over my life. I want to even practice a little bit more with you right now. I'm going to kind of play the devil, but you're God's people right now. And you're saying, you're coming back. You don't need to say all these. You can just say, in the name of Jesus, go, devil. Because many of us say, well, if pastor prays for me, then the devil's finally going to leave me. No, you have that same authority as a believer. Did you know that? You really do. And so in the name of Jesus, you're a loser. And here's what the devil does. You're addicted. You know, you're always going to be addicted. You're always going to be a loser. You're always going to be somebody that doesn't have any money. You're always going to be lonely. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm always going to stay with you. I'm always going to stay here. I'm always going to be with you. And that's what you win with, amen? And that's how you declare God's word. And that's how we win power over the, in the name of Jesus. That's, the devil has to flee. The devil has to be loosed from your life when you use that authority in your life. Finally, the shoes of feet, the peace are placed upon your feet. And that's so beautiful, because when shoes come on, imagine that son's feet, how they were. They were probably in the middle of a pig slop was in between them. The heels were cracked. That's why Jewish people, they would wash feet. The fishermen's feet were washed by Jesus, right? They were dirty, and the servants came and washed the son's feet. And not anymore. No, not my boy. My sons and daughters. I'm gonna put some sandals now. These are the family sandals. Amen. They're getting put. They're customized. They have arch support. Amen. They're gonna be on your feet. That way you walk through hell and you trod everywhere the devil. Cancer's not coming back into my life. And I trod every place I take authority. Amen. I'm debt free. I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. And you walk with those shoes. And everywhere you go, you have the mercies of God around you today. Amen. Would you bow and pray with me right now and ask God, Father, I just thank you for the people of God in this room. I thank you that they're set free. If you would right now, beloved, would you extend your hands like you're going to receive something? I have authority as the pastor of this church right now to have agreement with you right now that you're set free. And I declare these over your life right now. Receive them right now with an open hand right now. God's giving you something right now, a set free moment. Father, I thank you. My heart bows before you and I praise you. I surrender myself completely in every area of my life, and my hands are open with my brothers and sisters. I stand against the works of Satan in my life. Lord, I resist all the endeavors of Satan and his wicked spirits right now to rob me of God's will. I come against anger right now in the name of Jesus. I come against malice right now in the name of Jesus. I come against cursing, abuse right now, bitterness right now, being judgmental, critical spirits right now, anger towards men, anger towards women right now, anger towards a mother or father. Loose your hold right now in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over God's child right now. I come against the fear of man, the fear against authority, doubt and unbelief. I loose the people of God, fear that of illness, that they'll receive an illness. I come against abandonment, desertion right now, rejection, illness, loneliness right now, self-pity in the name of Jesus. I come against shame right now, anger, embarrassment, self-hate right now, withdrawal, timidity, be gone in the name of Jesus. I come against lying right now in the name of Jesus, cheating, theft, deception, adultery, emotional adultery, denial in the name of Jesus. You have no place in the child of God's life. I come against addiction, tobacco in the name of nicotine right now, alcoholism, drug addiction, sugar, food, overeating, pornography, sex. I come against you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I come against depression right now, rejection, despair right now, helplessness right now, hopelessness right now, sadness, self-pity, withdrawal, suicide in the name of Jesus. I come against mental instability right now, mental illness, compulsion, confusion. You think the right things right now. I come against paranoia, schizophrenia. In the name of Jesus, you're broken. I come against pride right now, arrogance, disdain, control, lack of concern, gossip right now. You won't have it in God's place or in God's house. I come against, finally, procrastination, slothfulness in the name of Jesus, laziness, distraction. I come against confusion, lack of focus in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Keep your hands open right now. I choose right now to be continued, to be transformed in the mind of Christ right now. I pull down every thought that would exalt itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I loose myself right now, Lord, in the sound mind right now, the mind of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. I am free indeed. Bless the Lord right now. Bless the Lord. Yes, Jesus.